Welcome. We're speaking with Glenn Neely, founder of NeoWave Institute, and Glenn is internationally regarded as the premier Elliott Wave analyst here today. Welcome, Glenn.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk to you today about a January 2008 forecast that you made that was a fairly controversial at the time and has proven to be a pretty extraordinarily on the spot. In January 2008, you sent out an international release stating, with three exclamation points, stating the bull market is over. And now here we are, November 2009. It's been treacherous waters since that point. It's been just an incredibly treacherous bear market in the nearly 2 years since that announcement. And I wanted to see if you could explain a bit more about why you made that controversial forecast, why it was controversial at the time, and tell us a little bit about how that has played out.
Well, that notice was sent out to everyone that we have on our database, and that was done just a little bit more than 2 weeks into the beginning of 2008. This was after a very nice five-year bull market from 2002 to the high in 2007. And the event that I was waiting for based on my NeoWave additions to Elliott Wave Theory was I was waiting for a market decline that was bigger and faster than all previous declines that had occurred during the entire bull market from 2002 to 2007. And with the drop in sort of mid-January, that event finally took place. So it wasn't as, at least from my perspective, it wasn't as much of a prediction as it was just a fact. It was an observational event. It did happen, and the minute that it happened, then I knew that was it. The bull market was over. So from even though it sounds controversial, and or at least was controversial at the time, and it sounds somewhat incredible, it's really just following the rules that I've added to wave theory over the last 25 years that allow me to make very sort of dogmatic forecasts at times, not all the time, but occasionally, and those forecasts pretty often turn out to be quite right. So the big break that we saw into mid-January was the event I'd been waiting for a long time. It finally happened. The minute it happened, I knew that was it. The bull market was over. In that update, I went on to say that it was the beginning of a 4 to 6 year bear market. So this wasn't just a temporary sell-off, but it was the beginning of a very long, drawn-out change in economic conditions for the U.S. And I indicated in that update that I thought it was reasonable to assume the U.S. would be going into a protracted recession and that multiple financial bubbles would be coming to an end that had been in progress for 1 to 2 decades that would have a serious impact on our economy. And I indicated that it would be better to know this than to not know it so that, you know, our customers could prepare for what was coming.
Glenn, before we talk about what has happened since that interesting call that you made, let's talk about why it was considered controversial at the time. So you'd mentioned that the bull market had been a very strong run from 2002 to 2007. Your call that the bull market is over was in January 18th, 2008.
Right.
And so what were people feeling at that time about the market, and why was this call really considered controversial?
Well, the rally from 2002 to 2007 was under wave theory called a B wave. And those typically are the most emotional, exciting periods of a correction. It draws people in, the public in, quite substantially, sort of gets them to do things they wouldn't normally do. There's a lot of media coverage, a lot of frenzy kind of excitement in the air. And so a significant portion of the public got involved in the stock market during that advance and got trapped into that period. But the psychology present at the time was so optimistic that people got used to a market that pretty much went sideways and up almost nonstop for 5 years. They got so used to that that any big decline they always saw was just a buying opportunity. I can remember back then thinking that every time the market declined, they would think, oh, this is just another great buying opportunity. You know, they're giving us bargains now. It's time to jump in. And we heard this almost nonstop for most of 2008. That finally stopped going into September, October, when the market had really taken a huge plunge and the psychology started to change. But it was that initial assumption that every big decline is a buying opportunity. That's why people doubted what I was saying. They were very suspicious of it, and they didn't want to hear what I had to say.
When you're thinking there's buying opportunity, that also just really indicates how optimistic they are going to be that the market's going to just keep climbing. And that,
right.
So if there is a little dip, great, we're going to buy now because we know that the market's just going to keep climbing and rallying.
Right. Well, people got so well trained pretty much since 1982. From that point all the way up to 2000, the market climbed almost relentlessly, except for the 87 crash, for almost 20 years. And then we went through the very short-term bear market in 2000 through 2002, and then we once again had a perpetual and almost non-ending consistent upward climb in the stock market. So for most of 25 years, the stock market always recovered after big corrections. And so people just started to assume that's the way it always is. And this is the first time since 1982 that a big drop hasn't been quickly retraced, and the economy's substantially worse, and things aren't getting back to normal as quickly as they had in the past.
So on January 18th, 2008, a fairly significant event was held in the S&P stock market where the S&P dropped significantly enough for you to say, yes, indeed, the bull market is over. And you are then predicting, again, turning the clock back, it was January 18th, 2008. Now you're predicting that we're going to have a protracted recession with
right.
a serious impact on economy. And now here we are in November 2009, again, treacherous bear market in the last year and a half, nearly 2 years. So if you can talk about what you were seeing at the time that really put you in a position to see that we would be having such difficult times.
Well, if we start from the 2000 high under wave theory, or at least under NeoWave, because some LA Wave people might disagree with me, but under NeoWave, the drop to 2002 was wave A of what I think will be about a 20-year corrective environment. And I've said this ever since the drop in 2000 started. So I indicated the high in 2000 when I was very bearish and indicating the stock market was going to drop 50% in the Dow and 60% in the S&P and 70% in the NASDAQ, which all came to pass over that two-year time frame. So that would be just the first phase of a 20-year consolidation correction in the stock market. And it's becoming more and more obvious now that we've gone for almost 10 years that that's going to be correct. But that was what I initially said. There was huge disbelief, much more then than there was in 2008, that the bear market was actually beginning when I said that it was. But that decline to 2002's low was wave A. And after an A wave, obviously you get a B wave. And in this case, the B wave retraced all of wave A, which is what I predicted in 2002 would happen, that we'd get a 5 to 8 year bull market and we'd go all the way back above the highs of 2000, which was the internet boom high. And that happened. And as that event was coming to an end, that's when I started realizing, based on behavior and wave structure, that the B wave was going to be coming to an end and the bear market was going to begin sometime in the near future. And so the event I was waiting for was a large vertical drop in price that was larger than all the previous drops from 2002's low all the way up to 2007's high. And the minute that happened, I knew wave B was now over, and that under wave theory, then you have to have a C wave that is similar to the A wave, which was the drop from 2000 to 2002. So I knew that that was coming once wave B was over. And the minute I could confirm wave B was over based on the size of the drop we had in January 2008, then I knew what wave C needed to do. It needed to go all the way back down to the lows of 2002, and it had to happen in a relatively short period of time. And actually produced a pretty long-term market forecast on the S&P just a few days after the announcement when I said the bull market's over, that mapped out the entire bear market for the next 4 to 6 years. I'm not sure if you have a copy of that, and I'm hoping we can actually let the listeners get a copy of that too.
Yes,
but
we will provide that.
So that map, or that scenario that I mapped out the S&P's behavior for the next 4 to 6 years, shows exactly what I thought would happen. The red scenario was the worst-case scenario. The green scenario was the best-case scenario. And it became very obvious by March, April, May of 2008, that the worst-case scenario was happening. So you can see, if you look at that chart, that it was projecting a drop in the stock market between early 2009 to maybe early to mid-2010, that between those dates, that the S&P would drop below the 2002 low and go as low as about 550, with an ideal target around 650, and an ideal date somewhere, say, mid to late 2009. As we all know now, It reached that 650 level approximately in March of 2009, so well within the time frame, but a little earlier than the absolute ideal target shown. Then we've had this huge, massive recovery, just like listed on the chart, and it's actually gone slightly higher than shown on the chart there. I think at this point it's above 1,100. And let me take a quick look at my charts on the S&P. Let's see. Yeah, the last I show in the futures is 1,088. And let me just check the high real quick here. The highest that it's actually gone recently was about 1103. So it just recently exceeded 1100. So the rally is even larger than what's shown here. It's gone about 50 points higher. That whole thing was mapped out, and this is only late 2009. You'll see on the chart it goes all the way until late 2011 and maybe to even early 2012. If you go from 2007's high and you add 4 to 6 years, you're talking 2011 to 2013.
And what I find fascinating about this chart is it's dated Monday, January 21st, 2008, and you have a prediction that goes forward through to January 2012. And based on the discussion we were just having and the knowledge of what the S&P market has indeed played out in the last year and a half, 2 years, your prediction is astoundingly accurate. But what I find a little startling is that we're enjoying this rally, but according to this prediction, we look like we're going to be heading down south again.
Yes, yeah, there is almost no doubt that that's going to happen because the wave structure is incomplete. The most important thing to realize, one of my additions to wave theory is time projections or time prediction that's possible based on the wave patterns themselves. So if you look at the high in 2000, all the way through the low in 2002 and then back up to the high in 2008. It's an extremely reliable phenomenon that I discovered about ABC patterns, that wave C will almost always be equal to A plus B if the B wave takes a lot longer time than the A wave. So if there's dramatic time differences between those two, which in this case wave B is about twice the time consumption of wave A from the lowest point to the highest point of each, you just add those two together, divide it by two, and that gives you the ideal and extremely reliable future time target for the C wave's conclusion. So notice I have the C wave finishing at a higher point, but that it still won't be technically finished until that time period has run its course. Now this brings up a very interesting discussion and almost a metaphysical discussion, you could say, astrological, regarding the 2012 phenomenon that we're starting to hear. There's a movie coming out about
right.
it. And there's the Mayan calendar apparently concludes in 2012. So that is going to be probably the most interesting and scary year of our lives because of how much bad media this could be. It's almost be like a self-fulfilling prophecy, how people are going to work themselves up into a frenzy as the economy gets worse, things continue to slow down, and there's this media barrage reminding us every day how bad things are so that people are going to be even more scared to spend money, and it's going to just be self-fulfilling because of it.
Glenn, talk about how Elliott Wave, and in particular Neo Wave, because Neo Wave is a more advanced version of Elliott Wave, talk about how the psychology of the market has played out in wave theory.
Well, it's been pretty standard, pretty typical. If you look at the high in 2000, there was an incredible euphoria there where the number 3 is listed, and that's typical third wave psychology. The drop down to wave A is sort of that first phase of a fourth wave that creates disappointment but not depression and not the belief that it's all over, but just sad that it didn't get as good as you thought it was going to get. If you remember the internet boom period, I mean, that period was the most euphoric period I've ever experienced in my lifetime. You know, you just think of an idea and you're a millionaire overnight.
No, but it was .com, .com, unfortunately.
Yeah. That was the disappointment phase, but not the end of the positive psychology. So the B wave resurrected the psychology and even, I think, carried it in some cases further than what we had at the high in 2000 for different reasons. That period then sets up, because it's sort of, what would you say, it's a thinner kind of rally where the fundamentals aren't as good, but the market's going up anyway. So it's more flimsy. It's sort of like someone living high on the hog on a credit card that, yeah, things are great while you still have credit on your credit card, but the minute it runs out, well, then the party's over, right? Mm-hmm. So the B-wave rally was more like a credit card or financial binge where people were just spending money because they could, and then once they no longer were allowed to do that, then the party came to an end really fast. And that's why the decline was even faster and more nasty than the A-wave decline. What we're seeing now is we're moving into either toward the end or at least toward the center. I think it's technically toward the center of this 20-year correction. But the psychology has finally started to change where there's not this perpetual, it's bad, but it's going to get better kind of optimism or hopeful thinking, to where now it's more like, yeah, it doesn't look so good, and it's going to get worse. So now the focus is more downward than upward, not hopeful, but pessimistic and concerned. And that's the change that we're going to experience and continue to experience for the next few years. So the C-wave psychology is going to finally bring home the fact that, yes, we're in a bear market. It started at the high in 2000. We've been in it for 10 years. We're finally starting to accept it as a reality, that the boom period for 20 years from 1982 to the highs in 2007 is now finished. The glory days, economically speaking, for a while are finished. And it's going to be a sort of a reassessment of the way people think about the future. And they're going to be much more concerned about spending, hoarding money, what they have, trying to keep the jobs they have, cutting back on all kinds of luxury spending, vacations and cars and boats and trips and houses and everything else, and much more survival-oriented. And this, unfortunately, is going to get even worse as probably 2020 comes around. This is just the beginning of the bad psychology that's going to be unfolding for a long time.
Interesting that you're talking even clear out to 2020, because in your January 2008 forecast, you were talking about Monday, January 14th, 2008, began a new 4 to 6 year bear market. So you actually see that bear market continuing outward. Well, here you have in your note, as multiple financial bubbles of the last 1 to 2 decades unwind, it will seriously impact our economy.
Right. So what you're confusing here is that under wave theory, there's different levels of bear markets. So the whole big picture bear market started at the high in 2000. That's going to go on for about 20 years. The smaller bear market within this larger bear market began at the high in 2000, and that'll go on for about 4 to 6 years. So in other words, after we realize we've survived 2012, we'll probably get a really nice rebound in the stock market, maybe even go back toward the highs of 2007. But economically speaking, things still aren't going to be great for a long time, and I suspect that the only way the stock market is going to be able to recover back to the highs of 2008 or 2007 is because of inflation, so that the actual values are less, even though it appears that we're at the same level. So, the government's been spending a lot of money for quite a while, and that's potentially reducing the value of the dollars. So it might allow over time, after a period, what I think will be a period of deflation through 2012, we might go through a period of inflation from that point forward, which will bring the market back toward the old highs possibly, but it won't be as valuable.
It's like an inflationary period.
Right. So I think we're going to be going through a deflationary period, which we can go into some other time, but deflationary period for probably the next 2 to 3 years, and then after that, we may have some mild inflation that occurs that will allow the market to go back to numerically the same highs, but the value will actually be less. It's sort of the idea that $100 now buys only one-tenth of an ounce of gold, whereas 50 years or 100 years ago it bought 3 ounces of gold. So it's the same numerical value, but it's worth less.
Glenn, we need to wrap up, but I'm wondering if there's any way we can end this conversation on a high note. But I'm thinking that in the next 4 to 6 years in particular, in the next 20 years, we need to hunker down, save our money, really watch our pennies, and really be careful in this bear market. Is there any good news, any silver linings?
Well, I think that with proper investment and investment timing, that a person can protect a great deal of their capital during this period. I did have a lot of customers who actually either benefited from or avoided loss during the 2008-2009 bear market because they were properly hedged or they were out of the market. So just because things are bad or the stock market has dropped doesn't mean you have to do bad. And in the stock market, there's things you can do to protect yourself if you know these events in advance. So that's probably the only positive note I can say about that from an economic survival standpoint, that having strategies to take advantage of market action or avoiding bad market conditions is a good way to preserve capital.
Great. Thank you very much for your time today, Glenn.
Okay, thanks.